And hello, everyone, and welcome to a program, The Truth Will Set You Free, Bible Prophecy Edition. I'm Vic Batista, along with my co-host Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. We thank you for being part of today's program. We have a great program prepared for you today as we're going to continue making our way through the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, a message titled, The Servant. So for those of you that are following us live, we'd love for you to share this program with your friends and family so they can follow along and grab your Bible so that you can follow along with us as well. And of course, before we continue, I'm going to ask my co-host Nathan Jones if he will open us up with the word of prayer.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity to dive back into Isaiah to learn, Lord, what you would have us learn about you. All these messianic prophecies that we'll cover, Lord, reveal who you are. And so we praise you for that. We pray for a blessing on all those who've tuned in. Lord, you know their hearts, you know their needs, and we pray for your provision for them. In your precious name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Again, you tuned into our Truth Will Set You Free Bible Prophecy Edition. Vic Batista, Nathan Jones with Lamb Lion Ministry. Again, our topic is that of the servant as we look at Isaiah chapter 49. And before we continue, I'm going to welcome my co-host of the program, Nathan Jones. Nathan, it's great to be here. And for our audience, we're actually face-to-face to each other.
Folks, you probably know that Vic records from Florida and I record from Dallas, Texas. But Vic has been, oh man, just so awesome. He has come out to Texas. So he's here at Lamb and Lion Ministries. Our property is called Maranatha Acres, and he's sitting across from me. And so, Vic, this is what, the first podcast we've done together in person in maybe 4 years? So we're both here together. This is just awesome.
At least 4 years. And for those of you that follow us along, from time to time, we'll post a picture of us together. You might get to see one of those, actually, that we're actually live. But it's great to be here, Nate, and what a great blessing it's been seeing the new staff here and all that happens here behind the scenes. But maybe someone is new to the ministry and they're not able to get a hold of these resources. How can they get a hold of these resources?
Okay, well, if you've tuned in to the Truth Will Set You Free podcast, you're likely using Apple or Pray.com or Google or any number of our platforms. We welcome you. We are the podcast outreach of Lamb and Lion Ministries. We're a Bible prophecy teaching ministry, and our mission is to proclaim the soon return of Jesus Christ. We focus on the 31% of the Bible. That's right, folks, 31% of the Bible, that is prophecy. We want people to be excited about Jesus' return as much as we are excited that he is coming soon, and that's what we believe, that Jesus Christ is coming soon. If you want to know more about the ministry, visit us at our website, christinprophecy.org. We have a wealth of information to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus and better understand these times in which we're living from a prophetic point of view. Again, that's christinprophecy.org or download our Lamb Lion app.
Praise the Lord. Thanks, Nate, for sharing that. It just the way that people can grab hold of the resources and grow in their relationship with the Lord. So Nathan, coming out here has been a lot of fun because thank you for changing the weather for me. The weather is just like in Daytona. It's like 60-something, which is fantastic because a few weeks ago, it was snowing.
Yeah, we went from ice storm to spring weather just because we knew, brother, that you were coming from Florida. And you Floridians just don't know how to deal with cold weather. So we wanted to be hospitable.
Otherwise, it would have been another 5 years before I came out here if it was too cold for us.
Yeah, a little southern hospitality for our friend here.
Yeah, but as you all know, we have a lot of fun here, and it's a great privilege to be here face-to-face, and someday, soon, Nate, if the rapture occurs, we'll all be able to see each other face-to-face.
Oh, brother, that's what we long for here at Lamb and Lion Ministries, that to be gathered up to the Lord, caught up, as 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, and be with our Lord Jesus Christ forever. Brother, I cannot wait for that day.
And we believe that is coming. That day is coming very, very soon. There's so many signs all around, Nathan, that the Lord is about to return. And still people put it off. And as we're going to notice in the book of Isaiah, there's a lot of things prophetically that God speaks about. Some prophecies, of course, are for that time of the writer. Some are for future, and some are even for further future. Mm-hmm. Some of the ones that we're going to see today pertaining to the Messiah, something that is applicable for us today as we talk about servanthood. So, Nate, as we continue in the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, we can pick it up in verses 1 through 13, and you can read verses 1 through 7, and I'll read 8 through 13 in case someone doesn't have a Bible.
Okay, folks. We're picking up in Isaiah chapter 49, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Listen, O coastlands, to me, capital me, we're talking about God here, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother he has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he has hidden me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver he has hidden me. And he said to me, You were my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, Who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him? For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, It is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nations abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and he has chosen you.
Ooh, verse 8, thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore to the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, Go forth. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the roads, and their pasture shall be on all desolate height. They shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them, even by the springs of water. He will guide them. Verse 11, I will make each of my mountains a road, and my highway shall be elevated. Surely these shall come from afar. Look, those from the north and from the west. And verse 13, Sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Nathan, what a powerful passage we have read here. There's so much content in this passage.
Some of you have paper Bibles, and you'll notice that the letters in red are Jesus Christ speaking. Folks, if you have a red letter Bible, this chapter should be in red. Even though we're 700 years in Isaiah's time before Jesus' first advent, this is a messianic passage. This is Jesus, the Son, talking to the Father and to an audience. And so we have first person Jesus, what we call his pre-incarnate form. Mm-hmm. The angel of the Lord is another name for him. And so we're reading firsthand Jesus giving us a message 700 years before he was born. And he's even in this prophesying that he would be born of a woman.
Nathan, that's a very good point, because again, some people are New Testament only, where they think mm-hmm. the Old Testament is not applicable, and I'm in the New Testament because that's what Jesus, but yet the whole Bible is about the Lord, and if people will take the time to recognize the prophecies, they will clearly see this perfect. When we look at just verses 6 through 7, Nate, those that are in red, there is so much content in there about the Messiah, his servanthood, how he will come, his purpose, if you will. And it kind of reminds me of what the Bible says in the Gospel of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, we have a wonderful passage there in terms of Jesus' ministry. And I'll read verses 12 and 13. Nate, would you be able to do 14 and 16?
Absolutely.
So we notice chapter 12, 4 of Matthew, verse 12, it says, Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came to dwell in Capernaum, which was by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying,
The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee, of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.
Nate, and when I think about the ministry of Jesus, right, I just thought, and you see the references there also from Isaiah, that's the New Testament and mm-hmm. the Old Testament, to show us that it is the Word of God Old Testament and New Testament, the whole thing is about the Lord. The Messiah is coming and his purpose.
And you got to realize geographically where this is. So if you look at the Sea of Galilee, which is now called Lake Gennesaret, and you go to the very north, that's Capernaum. And even though Jesus was from Nazareth, which is west of the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum was his headquarters. Mm. It was where Peter's mother would take care of them. Matter of fact, you could go to Capernaum, and Vic and I have been there, and the Catholic Church had built this UFO-looking-like church right over Peter's house, that they believe is Peter's house, at least. And you could even see an ancient synagogue that would have been one that Jesus spoke in. And so this was a prophecy that Jesus would be in the region of Naphtali and Zebulun, which owned the Capernaum town area. But it goes back 700 years to Isaiah, where he said that he would be a light to the Gentiles. Yeah. Now, this was a launching point into Syria. And so a lot of Gentiles, and you'd have a lot of traffic through trade routes coming through Capernaum. Mm-hmm. And so the Gentiles would come through too. And this must have blown the Jewish people's minds in Isaiah's time, because the Gentiles to them were not worthy to get the gospel. And yet the Messiah himself in chapter 49 is saying that he will be a light not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles.
Nathan, and what a great point, because even to today, the Jews of today, I mean, some of them, they want nothing to do with Gentiles or the church. Mm-hmm. And we still see a division there. And God wanted his people, really, the Jews were those evangelists. They were to reach the world. But they instead decided to turn their backs on that calling. And then God said, well, fine. God always finds somebody he can use, right, Nathan? Mm-hmm. So if God has called you to do something and you don't want to do it, he'll find somebody else. But God said, well, then I'm going to be a light to the Gentiles, which was part of his plan anyway. And that's when we read in the New Testament, the family of Cornelius and then others that finally that came to the Lord. And they were not even supposedly part of the plan. So that's why the Jews and the Gentiles are such a fighting between them, because the Jews felt they were the chosen people and not the Gentiles. But yet even in Isaiah, the Bible prophesied that Jesus came for everyone, just like today, right, Nate?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point about the story about Cornelius, because we remember that Peter, even though he was an apostle, didn't want anything to do with the Gentiles. He didn't understand that the gospel was meant to also go to the Gentiles, which is interesting because he would have understood Isaiah 49. And we see a big difference between Peter early in ministry to what he wrote later in ministry as he became more understanding of the scriptures. He was a fisherman, after all, not a theologian. But what's fascinating is that Peter should have understood Isaiah 49, and yet he had to be told by God, and even given that vision, right, of the animals coming down in the blanket, eat. In other words, you know, you see Gentiles as unclean, but no, the gospel's meant for them too.
Mm. And Nathan, I tell you, division and racism still exist today. Mm-hmm. And as much as people don't want to admit it, everywhere we go, we see that there's still that division, even in the church, even amongst Christians. And we think, well, that only existed in the Old Testament or in the time of Jesus. No, we have to actually guard our hearts even today, because as believers, we're called to go to everyone, not just people from the Dominican Republic where I'm from, or not just people from Daytona, but Texas, right, Nathan? Or every nationality.
Yes, yes. And it's wonderful, too, to see that throughout this passage that he's showing himself, this isn't just a fulfillment in the first advent. For the last 2,000 years, excuse me, the gospel has been going to the Gentiles and Jews alike. But you get to verse 7, it says, kings shall see and arise, princes shall worship. This is talking about the future in Christ's kingdom, where it won't be a difference between Jew and Gentile anymore, although Jewish people will be a priestly people during that time. But he's king over all of us. Ethnicity will... I look forward to that day, Vic, in the millennial kingdom. Even though we know there's nations, there'll be languages, so there'll still be ethnicities, but it won't matter anymore. The silly things that divide us won't be there, because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords made all of humanity.
Nathan, that's a great point. And I think that more and more we just have to recognize what awaits us. And that's what Jesus wanted to be. He wanted to be a light in the darkness. Today, we're living in darkness. There's a lot of darkness in our country. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of darkness in the world. And as believers, we need to have our light on. We need to be shining that light wherever the Lord calls us, and not allow the enemy to be snuffing that out. Nathan, some communities are so dark that I don't even like driving through them. because that's the reality. And sometimes, you know, people forget that evil is real. But if we don't do our part in sharing the gospel in those communities, they're going to remain in the darkness. And that's why Jesus went to these places where people didn't even want to go near those places. He, people that were demon possessed, people that were lunatics, if you will. Yet the Lord brought light into their lives, and salvation came to those regions that the Bible calls were the regions of death. And that's what I love about the ministry of Jesus, that not only was he in Galilee, but he went to all the regions. And the Bible says that his popularity grew. Now, Jesus wasn't looking to be popular, but it was his ministry that grew in popularity as he served others, according to Isaiah 49. That's the heart of a servant, right, Nate?
Oh, absolutely. And you bring up a good point about who he saved, because in verse 8 it says that he's brought the day of salvation, not just to the Jew, but also the Gentile, but also to restore the earth. Because we know that a terrible time period is coming, a prophesied time called the tribulation, where the Lord said if it was any longer, just one day longer than the 7 years allotted to it, there'd be no life left on the planet. But that's the day that Jesus Christ returns, Amen. Defeats evil, and sets up his kingdom. And he will restore the earth. The curse that was placed on it will be partially lifted, and the earth will be bountiful again. And so the Lord isn't just the savior of the human soul. Mm-hmm. He's also savior of the creation that he has made.
Praise the Lord. Excellent point, Nate. And I also noticed there on verse 8 and 9, just exciting. I will preserve you, give you as a covenant to my people, restore the earth to cause them to inherit desolate heritages, that they may say to the prisoners, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed along the road, and their pastures shall be on all desolate heights. I love your book regarding the millennium kingdom, Nate, because the reality is what awaits us in that time period is going to be awesome. The places that were devastated during the tribulation, God is going to restore those. Those roads that were devastated, we're going to have new roads. And there's just so much that the Bible speaks about that it's hard for us to comprehend. Verse 10 says, neither shall they hunger or thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. It reminds me of Revelation 22, right, Nate? At 21, 22 and 21, where it talks about the new heaven and the new earth. But it also talks about how things will be, where we will no longer have to worry about food, if you will. Not that I need to worry about that. I have a few pounds that I need to shed. But all the wonderful things that God is going to provide for us.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about the millennial kingdom, the fact that during the tribulation, the earth will be devastated by wars. It looks like nuclear wars. It's going to be hit by meteorites and comets. The waters will be poisoned. And the fact that Jesus brings it back to life again, that in the future, in the millennial kingdom, food, there won't be want for food. And without food, there won't be starvation. The famines, the plagues will be gone. But you bring up a good point. As great as that is, the new heavens and the new earth that the Lord will bring after the millennial kingdom, that's back to that perfected state that doesn't have sin corrupting it, there will be no more thorns and thistles and sickness and plague and death. All that will be defeated by Jesus. So he brings salvation to the Jews, the Gentiles, the earth, and the new heavens, the universe. Amen. I mean, he did all that by sacrificing himself on the cross for our sins. Unbelievable what the ramifications of that is. It also, if I one quick addition here, is that it means the end of evil. Mm-hmm. So Satan was defeated by Jesus on the cross. We're just waiting for Jesus to return and finally cast that demon into a pit and eventually in the lake of fire, and so that evil and corruption will be no more.
And we say hallelujah to that. That's why verse 13, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Nathan, the Jewish people have seen a lot of persecution.
Yes.
It's not over yet. There's still persecution going on today. There's a anti-Semitism. There's a hatred for them. But the time will come where the Bible says, again, that they will be afflicted no more. And Nate, as we continue looking at verse 14 through 26, another amazing passage is, again, for those that don't have a Bible, we're reading from the New King James. We want to invite you to follow along with us. Nate, I was going to pick it up in verse 14 through 21, And maybe you can take us to 22 through 26.
Sounds good.
In case someone doesn't have a Bible. But he says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. I love this. Verse 17, your sons shall make haste. Your destroyers and those who laid you waste shall go away from you. Lift up your eyes, look around and see all these gather together and come to you. As I live, says the Lord, you shall surely clothe yourselves with them all as an ornament and bind them on as a bride does. For your waste and desolate places in the land of your destruction will even now be too small for the inhabitants. And those who swallow you up will be far away. The children you will have after you have lost others will say again in your ears, the place is too small for me. Give me a place where I may dwell.
Wow. Then you will say in your heart, who has begotten these for me? Since I have lost my children and I'm desolate, a captive and wandering to and fro, and who has brought these up? There I was, left alone, but these, where were they? Thus says the Lord, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers and their queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty or the captives of the righteous be delivered? But thus says the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away and the prey of the terrible be delivered. For I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Verse 26, I will feed those who oppress you with their own flesh, and they shall be drunk with their own blood as with sweet wine. All flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer and the Mighty One of Jacob.
Nathan, what an amazing, I mean, talk about amazing. There's so much encouragement here. There's so much that we can glean from. And I just, again, what a great reminder, verse 14. Some people think that God has forsaken them and forgotten about them. They're in this tribulation and this trial and I'm all alone. No, it says, but Zion says, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. And the Bible says, the Lord will never leave you and will never forsake you.
Yes.
And that goes for his people even today.
And this is a fantastic prophecy that points again to the millennial kingdom. The very fact that the Jewish people, in their dismay and distress, cast across the nations, outcast wherever they go, suffering pogroms and the Holocaust, will one day know the fame of the nations. Gentile kings and queens will be like their nursemaids. And so we're talking about a time where the Jewish people will come to know Jesus as Savior, enduring the kingdom. They will serve him as a priestly people, which was always meant to be their role, and bring the Gentile nations up to see Jesus in Jerusalem, and they will have the fame of the nations. And brother, you and I know that the Jewish people do not have the fame of the nations right now.
Oh, no, they do not, Nathan. And that's why we love to look at scripture. And what I love about Isaiah, Nate, is how cool it just weaves in constantly the millennium. It talks about the judgment. It talks about the trials. But it always gives you hope.
Yes.
And that's why I'm so glad the Lord laid on your heart to write the book that you wrote, because we are in need of encouragement. People constantly have to recognize this is not the end. This is what God has in store for us. And we constantly have to recognize that what's going on right now is part of Bible prophecy. Certain events need to take place. Sad to say that Jewish people still have quite a bit of other challenges according to the Bible that they're going to have to go through.
Yes.
But at the end, God has a promise. He has not forgotten them. Verse 15, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Nate, you and I have kids. Our wives are a little more in touch with them, yes, if you will. But can a parent or a mom forget her children? No. Sometimes our children rebel.
Yes.
They are hard-headed. They do things. But we're always there. We don't forget them. When they are in need, we'll be there. Discipline does happen, and God is disciplining his people, but eventually they will be restored. And that's the wonderful thing that we see in this passage.
I love verse 16. It says, "See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands."
Oh.
You know, it reminds me of that movie, the first Toy Story movie. Remember that all the toys had Andy's name etched into their feet. So they lifted up. They knew they were Andy's toys.
Right.
Well, likewise, the Lord is saying, here, look, I love you so much, and I have etched your name on my hand. I look down, you know, like we put marker, like a grocery list or something, and there's your name. So he always is before you. So you bring up a fantastic point that those days where we feel that God's abandoned us or his attention is focused elsewhere, you know, you are dear to him. You're etched on the palms of his hands. He hasn't forgotten you.
Oh, Nathan, what a wonderful, I love that too, that I honed in on that. You know, people today, they put tattoos everywhere on their bodies, and unfortunately, they put them some places that they shouldn't, but God has your edged, and not only that, but he has your real name. He knows who you are, because in the Bible, it says that he's going to give us a new name.
Yeah, new names.
And that's the wonderful thing that, you know, he's got you tattooed, if you will. He knows who you are. He hasn't forgotten about you, and we just want to encourage you today. Maybe you're going through a very tough time, and you feel like you've been forgotten by your real parents, your earthly parents, or your friends or family, or you just feel alone. Maybe you're going through a divorce or someone left you close to you. But if you turn to God and you start to follow him and you understand his word, you will recognize that God is with you. He does indeed care about you, and he has not forgotten you. Right, Nate?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's a time that the Lord has prophesied where he will be living with us. He won't be distant anymore, as it seems. We can go up to Jerusalem to see him, or even better, during the eternal state, we can go see the Father in his throne room in the New Jerusalem. So that's what the Lord is trying to do, get us back to that Garden of Eden relationship where we walked and talked and had perfect fellowship with God. There was no sin separating us. And so, Vic, I long for that day where we get to be face-to-face with our Creator once more.
Nathan, and I think it will be very soon. I love the encouragement as the passage there closed in verse 26, that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Not the weak one, but the Mighty One. In other words, our God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and nothing is impossible for him. Even for those of you that think that maybe you strayed too far from God, or maybe you messed up so bad that God has forgotten you. No, not at all. The Bible calls us to repent, to turn to the Lord. And as we do, God is right there like a loving father with his arms open, just waiting for you to come home. But Nate, maybe there's someone out there who does feel like that, like they're an outcast. They really haven't started a real relationship with the Lord, and they feel alone. But now, as they're listening to a program, maybe God has touched their hearts, and maybe they're ready to do a turnaround, if you will, a repentance, to come back to the Lord. How can we get that person back on the right track, Nate? How can they get back on the right track?
Well, when you think that Isaiah was in 700 BC, so this is a love letter to all of us from 2,700 years ago from the Messiah, prophesying that he would come of a virgin, he would be born and suffer and die for our sins, but then beat death by resurrecting himself from the dead. And when we put our faith and trust in Jesus as our Savior, his salvation comes upon us, the sin is forgiven and washed away, and we inherit eternal life with him. So reach out in faith to Jesus Christ. If you don't know yet know him as your Savior, then pray, Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, I know I've been in rebellion against you, please forgive me. I love you, Lord, and I want you to be the Savior and Lord of my life. And Jesus promised he will forgive your sins, he will wash that guilt away, and you will inherit all the promises we read today, including eternal life.
Praise the Lord. And maybe you just received the Lord in your heart, and you really meant it this time. We would love to hear from you. You can call or text us at 305-992-9537, or you can write to us at webminister@lamblion.com. Hey, we would love to rejoice with you. There's a rejoicing in heaven right now for every sinner that repents and turns to the Lord. And we say hallelujah to that. We also encourage you, find a good Bible teaching church and let them know you came to know the Lord. Get baptized and continue to grow in your relationship with him, because God has some amazing plans in store for you. Well, Nate, we've come to the end of this segment of our program, but at least we got to do this live now.
Live. Oh, so excited. I'm so glad you came out here.
It's been great. And to our audience, we thank you for being part of this segment of the program. Vic Bautista, Nathan Jones saying goodbye. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. Have a wonderful day.
Good news. Good news. La buena noticia. Ha llegado. The good news is finally here. Friends, listen to me. This is serious business. What the world needs today is Jesus. The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish.